At Pluralsight, we don't just teach skills. We are building the tech workforce who deliver results fast, accelerated by top-tier content. Lead with confidence. Lead with expertise. Visit us at Pluralsight.com to tap in and learn more.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now, with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcasts12. Just go to Indeed.com/podcasts12 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcasts12. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
At Pluralsight, we don't just teach skills. We are building the tech workforce who deliver results fast, accelerated by top-tier content. Lead with confidence. Lead with expertise. Visit us at Pluralsight.com to tap in and learn more.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
Today on The Grave Talks, Hauntings at the Mizpah Hotel, a conversation with Siobhan Smith, Jesse DiMaggio, and Heather Ingalls. Welcome to the Mizpah Hotel, one of the most haunted hotels in Nevada, where Victorian luxury mingles with restless spirits. Once the tallest building in the state and a glittering hub for mining magnates, the Mizpah Hotel is now famous for its supernatural residents. Guests have encountered the glamorous Lady in Red, a ghost with a thing for jewelry, just not the women wearing it. The innocent laughter of unseen children fills the third floor, while the shadows of old-time miners roam the hallways. In the basement, even the bravest staff members avoid it, with its mysterious figures and secrets best left undisturbed. Today on The Grave Talks, we delve into the haunted history of the Mizpah Hotel and uncover the legends that refuse to fade. I want to thank you all for being with me. And Siobhan, thank you in particular. You and I have been emailing back and forth for a while. And yes. I've been wanting to talk about the Mizpah Hotel. And did I say that correctly? As soon as it came out, I'm like,
Mizpah, yes.
Okay. Because as soon as it came out, I just assumed that's the only way you could say it. But then who knows? But I've been wanting to talk about this hotel for a long, long time because just within the last couple years, I think it was USA Today. Are you guys picking up on activity?
We are. Yeah. We're going to move it further away from us so it doesn't hopefully.
You know what? I have no problem if you're sitting there in the hotel and we get some activity. I am fine with that.
We don't. they like the entertainment of being on something.
It's like,
so
I don't know.
So they don't see Heather and I very often anymore. Heather got a new job. So her ghost tour have gone less and less. And then I work 7 days a week. And so I give the ghost tours to my other tour guides. So when I come on a tour, or same with Heather, because they don't see us very often, I'm getting chills right now. Like, my hair is standing up.
Because they're probably excited to see you, because you're familiar.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So sometimes they like, sometimes the familiarity is special to them. So they'll like pick out people that they see all the time. Other times it's like, oh, there's somebody that we don't see very often. Let's mess with them.
Let's mess with them.
So just we'll see what happens. What's the deal, you know?
And this room is an interesting room. So
now, Siobhan, how long have you been with the hotel?
It will be 2 years in April.
And when, at one point, a couple years ago, maybe when you started, you were doing ghost tours then?
Yeah. So when we first started ghost tours, they didn't have a set anything. Somebody would ask, and then an employee would take them to the basement and get the stories wrong and get the information all wrong. So when I moved into the sales position, I contacted Heather. Somebody gave me her number. And Heather and I started.
We were started working out a program for sure.
We started working out a program and a script, you know, so like everybody would kind of be on the same page. And so that started, I want to say, like in just after May.
This a couple years ago.
Just last year.
Just last year. May. Okay.
Yeah. And then
it's been a year, basically.
Yeah, it's been a year and like almost a half. Yeah.
Okay.
And so then once it started becoming more and more prevalent that we needed more tour guides, we hired Jessie. We all do other things in the hotel too, besides Heather. Heather only does tours. And then we also have a tour guide, Daily, who is very good as well.
Heather, before you came in, they did call you another OG tour guide.
So you, gee, thanks. I do actually. Well, so I have a lot of tourism background, and I have a lot of tour guiding background and stuff like that. So I've been doing that for quite a few years, like I don't know, probably 15 years and stuff. So I am kind of the OG around here, but
I'm the old Goldfield Hotel.
Yeah,
that's the Goldfield Hotel, which is amazing. Mm-hmm. That tour is, if you ever get on this side of
the Rockies,
schedule a tour with us and schedule a tour with the Goldfield Hotel, because it's amazing.
Oh, Jez or Heather, we'll have to do an episode on them as well then.
Right.
That would be fun.
So the same architectural firm also built those hotels.
Oh, and are
all
they
three of our hotels?
Are they in the same city then?
No.
Okay.
We're so Goldfield is 26 miles south of Tonopah.
Okay. And then Jessie.
It doesn't feel like it's south at all, because you kind of go uphill to get there.
when you go south, you feel like you should be going downhill.
Right.
Now, Jessie, how long have you been doing the tour guides?
October. Yeah, I pretty much started. Yeah, it was about October of last year. So almost a year.
Now, before you started, Jessie, had you had any paranormal experience, or was this like, sounds like a fun job? I don't believe in that sort of thing, but it'd be fun.
Yeah, it was definitely fun. I worked at the front desk, and I would frequently hear a lot of crazy stuff at the front desk. Like, especially when it was quiet in the lobby around 10 o'clock, I'd hear, you know, the doors handles jiggle, and I felt the kids that haunt the hotel. I felt them one time, like grabbing my leg. I felt them grab my hand. They're around a lot at the front desk.
Whenever I hear a little kid ghost holding your hand, that always gets me in the heart every time. I guess that maternal part of me is like, oh, honey.
Yes.
And Siobhan, when you started, did you know about this ghostly history?
So I was told that the hotel was haunted, and I am an atheist, so I didn't really believe in anything until I experienced things here. But growing up, I always had some sort of connection to the other, whatever you want to call it, the other side, ghosts. I don't know quite how I would explain it, but when I started the ghost tours and started seeing things. Yeah, this hotel makes you a believer. We have skeptics come on tours all the time, and they tell us up front, I'm a skeptic, I don't believe in any of this. And by the time they leave, they're like, okay, yeah, I might believe in this.
This is not such a stretch. Heather, how did you feel about it when you started doing tours there?
Well, so I've always had experiences with the paranormal all my life. And for many years as a young girl and as a young lady, I was like, nope, I'm not going to see this. I don't like that.
That's exactly how I felt.
And then over time, you guys start realizing that you just can't deny the things that are happening. And so I was definitely very into it when I got here. I was very into the paranormal. I had also done some paranormal tour stuff before. And so it was pretty cool to get to be involved with the Mizpah and doing stuff with them, because Siobhan and I hit it off right away. The first 5 minutes we met, we were like, this is my friend. I like her. And we didn't stop. I don't know. We spent probably 2.5 hours together talking the first day because we just hit it off so well. So it was really great to have other people like that. And I totally have believed in that and had different things happen to me in the hotel, especially, but throughout my life. So it's pretty funny.
And since there hadn't been an official ghost tour, paranormal investigations, you know, the stories that might have been passed down to you guys, they might have been kind of hard to find then for you at first. Did you go to people who had worked there?
So at one point they did have some paranormal tours, but the gal that was doing it was the only one that did it, and it was kind of random and weird. And I don't know, I had one time wanted to just catch one of her tours, and it wasn't possible to do, and it was all just kind of I don't know how they had it set up, but it just wasn't very,
it didn't flow, it didn't work, there was no structure, it was just,
she kind of just walked people around and stuff.
So did you kind of have to do a little digging on these stories, or did some of these stories just get passed down from people who had been working in the hotel or who had owned it?
Definitely passed down. All of it is nothing. This is how we start our tours, is like, we can't confirm anything. Like, these are stories that have been passed down from generation to generation because the Mizpah has been here for so long. Stories correlate differently with different ghosts towards the hotel. Like, it's just all stories that have everybody in town talks about.
So on my side, personally, I have not only personal history with the hotel many years ago and so forth, but my family has lived here obviously for quite some time, and so like I either ask friends or family or somebody like that some of their things. Also, my great aunt was a server here, you know, so like I have a lot of personal history, as well as I've done a lot of historic research on some of that stuff. So when you take a tour with me, it's mostly about the history, but anymore the paranormal has to dip in there in the same sense, because it's part of history now.
Right.
Our tour guides kind of has their own way to throw in the history and the paranormal, and we all kind of do it different but the same,
because you want to keep the facts the same.
Yeah, exactly.
So let's kind of dive into the history of this hotel, because the Mizpah was built, it was opened in 1907, I believe.
Yes.
And it was the tallest building in Nevada at that time, at 5 stories.
Yes.
And what I love was it was built for $200,000, which then was a huge amount of money.
A lot of money.
Now you think $200,000, you could barely build a 3-bedroom ranch home for that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, depending on where you live, you could do that. But tell me a little bit about this hotel, and because it was pretty for its time, and still looking at the pictures of it, they really thought of everything when they built this hotel.
Right. Well, so I'll tell you a little bit. The Belvada, which is the other hotel that the Pine Zone here, which is across the street, that was built in 1906 as a bank. The Mizpah was then built in 1907 as a hotel, and the Goldfield was built in 1908. I don't know how much it cost to build the Belvada, but I know that the Mizpah was, like you said, in around 200,000, and the Goldfield was 300,000 to 400,000. So, yeah, today's world, we put another zero on those numbers. But in the end, this architectural firm came down, and all three of those buildings look very, very much alike and have a very similar design inside and out, and are all five stories. They're all the rock, brick,
tile,
and you name it. It's all very, very, very similar architectural design in every way. The bank, not as much, but now it's a hotel. The interior of the bank was definitely designed differently. But so needless to say that architectural firm built beautiful facilities for whatever it was. But they also built some nice hotels up in the Reno and Carson area and Virginia City area. So
Tonopah at the time, it was obviously there's some money coming into the city, because to build a five-story luxury hotel in 1907, you've got some people coming through town. So it was a mining town.
So wasn't there like 20,000 people here at that time?
In around that time, is because in 1900 is when Jim Butler announced that he found a huge silver vein. And from there, it exploded. Everybody was coming here because silver was almost at the same price as gold. So they were very close in price. And so they came here to get rich, to begin mine claims and everything else. And they successfully did a lot of that. Of course, it's a mining town, so there's a lot of money up and down and lost and won. But by 1907, it was a big boom. It was booming good.
And then it was a hotel until like 1999.
Yeah,
was it in operation that whole time? And in the meantime, did Tonopah kind of lose some population?
Everybody always believed that the Mizpah Hotel was the center of the state. It's halfway between Reno and Vegas. So if you have an event or something you're doing with a certain group, they met in Tonopah, and it was like that for years. And when I was a kid in the 70s and 80s and that, it was definitely a huge place to meet up in Tonopah, and whatever your group was, whatever they used to have a lawyer convention out here, because the lawyers from all sides of the state could meet in the middle and
it's
things
becoming
like
that now.
And they've been trying to boost that back up again.
We have a lot of groups that come here because it's central to Reno,
so like,
and Las Vegas.
Yeah. If you have a group that's in Vegas and a group that's in Reno, and if the best place to get together is obviously
it's
going to be meet in the middle.
Yeah.
You know, so it was a huge center of the state, especially because of the fact of the money that was coming through the, here in the early years. So that's where all of the senators, governors, and people like that were higher in the political side of that, of the state, would meet up here, and they loved to come here. And so it was a central location for everybody, really. It really was. And it became a big deal that way. And especially during the boom years, you know. And because of that, we've had boom and bust ever since, you know. Even still, we hear boom and bust.
Mm-hmm. This year's been a bust year, but
there's supposed to be a boom. Booming again, as it picks up again. So
yeah.
It's hard to say.
And because they really didn't spare any expense with this hotel.
Yeah.
You know, so that would be a draw in itself because it's so nice.
Have you looked at the Belvada Hotel across the street? Have you looked at that one?
I have not looked at that one.
Okay. She is gorgeous. She is my favorite. I'm sorry, Ms. Pa. I love you too. But
watch out. You're sitting there.
When they remodeled the Bell, they did a fantastic job.
Well, if you find any pictures of the Bell before they worked on it, it was literally at the point of being torn down.
Yeah.
Because it was so bad. It was so, it looked like a bomb went off in there. It was ridiculous in there. I had been in the building before the clients got it, and it was, I mean, literally it looked like a bomb went off in there, but there was a whole lot of things that lived in there that you did not want to live with them.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it was horrible. And then when they got a hold of it and they fixed it up, they've done an amazing job.
Well, and the Mizpah sat empty for quite a while, didn't it, before someone purchased it and then worked on getting it back?
From 99 to, what was it, 2011?
2011.
The clients purchased it. And
the bell, sat like empty for 70 years or so.
Not 70, but because I can remember it was pretty close though. It was a long time though. It was like probably 45 years or something that sat basically with nothing in it.
See, but I can't believe after that amount of time, somebody was like, you know what? I can do something with this building, because so often when they've sat that long, nobody's going to do anything.
Well, the town of Tonopah actually owned the Belvada at the time. And they offered it to the clients. And they said, you know, would you consider purchasing the building and taking it over and fixing it? Because you did such a great job at the Mizpah. And they said, well, you know, I don't know. They went back and forth with it for a little while until finally the town of Tonopah sold it to the clients for $1. They had one stipulation, and that was within 5 years, you have to do something with it. You have to make it functional. I don't care what it is. We don't care what you do, but it has to be a functional, safe, good building. And they said, all right. So they bought it for $1 and they fixed it up and made it a beautiful hotel and opened it within 3.5 years, was it?
3.5. Yeah.
Wow. That's amazing.
We opened at the end of 2020.
Yeah.
So they own both of them.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's interesting.
And we own the Tonopah Brewing Company, which is down the street as well.
I love that they invested in this town and brought it back.
So they did. They were doing family history at one point. They were doing some, finding out about their families and stuff like that. And they found out that one of their relatives, I believe it was Nancy's relative, that was here. He was one of the main people that started the town of Tonopah. He was one of the first people. and one of the first people that came here. And he was one of the key people to start the town, essentially. They saw the hotel was sitting empty and they decided to purchase it and fix it up. But they said, you know, we have the money to do it. Let's do it.
See, that's what it takes, is someone with a vision to come along. Because how big is Tonopah now?
2,000.
2,000 people.
Yeah. So it could have sat there forever. But the right people came along at the right time.
Not enough.
Yeah, no, and it definitely, as a local resident person, I can tell you that all of my life, the Mizpah was the center of it, of the state. And then when it was closed for those years, it was like the whole town was depressed, you know, like it was all so depressed. And like, it was so amazing to me that when the clients purchased it and they started working on everything, I was like, here we go. Yes, we have it back. This is what we need. And it's to revamp the whole energy of the town again.
So they opened in 2011-12, right?
Yeah, somewhere in there.
Somewhere in there. I moved to Nevada, a town about an hour away, around the same time that they freshly opened. And we used to come here for dinner. I thought it had been open for years.
Yeah.
And then I find out, oh no, they just reopened it. And this is all...
Yeah, it was closed for like 12 years.
Brand new.
Now let's talk about where you girls are right now. So you're in the Mizpah Hotel. You're on the third floor conference room?
Yes.
Now, why did you pick that room to have a chat with me? Was it just because it had a nice table and you could all sit around it comfortably?
No.
I had a feeling.
We're on fold-up tables, but we're sitting in fold-up tables.
So this room is curious. We don't know a lot about this room. It is said that this was the original room for the kids. This was where they lived when they were alive. But then whoever designed this room decided to put mirrors facing each other on all walls.
Oh,
so, most of the walls, yeah. It's pretty.
Is that your mom's name?
It's my mom's name. Yeah.
Sorry, we have our spirit talkers on, and it's Heather's said her mom's name first thing, and then mine just said Evelyn. ghost is here. So
which is supposed to be the lady in red's
name. Yeah, that's the
real name. And that's Evelyn, or the lady in red's name is Evelyn.
Oh, is that her name?
Yeah.
She went by Rose, but the real name was Evelyn.
Let's talk about Evelyn then, because she's referred to as a lady in red and people call her Rose. That's what I had read. But then you're saying her real name's Evelyn.
Yes. Rose was her working name.
Oh, because she was a working woman who worked out of the hotel.
So I'll tell you a quick funny story about that. So besides all the other things she's messed with me about in different time frames of my life at this hotel. But when I started doing these ghost tours, my parents live in Northern California, but they have a house here as well. And they were down here visiting. And so I said, come on one of my tours. So I was going to do a tour, and they came down the Mizpah with me. And we got up on the fifth floor, and my mom had one of those light up cat balls in her hand. And so we were kind of standing down by the lady in red's area. And there's a table in the hallway, and it's a couch there and everything. And I was telling the people on the tour about how my mother's, the lady in red's name was Evelyn. And my mother, who is standing right there, is named Evelyn as well. And my mother set the cat ball down on the table in front of her, and it flew across the table and landed up under the chair, directly across from her. And everybody there kind of just looked at each other, and my mom and I looked at each other like, oh. And she was like, okay. And she didn't pick up the cat ball anyway. She left that. I said, I'll pick up the cat ball. And she's like, yeah, I'm good. I don't need it.
Yeah, your mom's like, enough, enough. And everybody else is like, why did her mom just do that?
Yeah.
Didn't do it. It always breaks my heart when I hear a story. And, you know, there's a lot of different locations have a lady in red or a lady in white or a lady in black or something. But I always feel so sad, you know, because they all met a very tragic end.
Yes.
And they all had this connection to where they passed. What do you call her there? Do you call her Rose or do you call her Evelyn?
Depends on the circumstance.
Yeah, mostly it's the lady in red.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let's call her Rose, since we're talking about her story, and I don't want to get too personal.
I usually say Miss Rose.
Miss Rose. I like that.
Yeah.
So Miss Rose, you know, I think that would have been a very difficult life for her. And, you know, I would like to, you know, wish that she could go someplace peaceful, but she also must, there's a reason why she stays.
So she was the most popular working gal.
Maybe she did enjoy her job. I should say that, because maybe she did.
She was supposed to be one of the most beautiful women that you'd encounter. So, like, she was sought after, essentially.
People would come from miles, hundreds of miles, to come see her.
She was so beautiful and wonderful. So,
and she lived at the hotel, right?
Yes. She had, right now, there's three rooms, but back then it was only two, one large room and then a sitting room. And her sitting room is now Our Lady in Red suite, which she pretty much stays in for the most part. She does wander the hotel a little bit, but for the most part, she's up on the fifth floor in the room.
And what is it that makes you think that she's still there? Because my guess is there have been a lot of stories over the years.
I don't know. Just she loved the hotel so much that she just decided to stay.
I think that the town was in its heyday. She was probably in her prime. You know, she was probably in prime age, as well as prime fight, making enough money, et cetera, sought after and world renowned type of person, you know. And I think that it was probably a prime time in her life in general.
So what happened to her at the hotel then?
You know, supposedly who did it. I always forget his name.
So there's a few different stories. So all growing up, there was no name ever assigned to the man that killed her. So, however, as some of the stories go around here anyway, and as it's often mentioned, is that George Wingfield, I think, he was involved with her death. Now, George Wingfield, if you want to go with that story, he was a married man, but he was having a relationship with her, and he for some reason had it in his head. I guess because he was a partial owner or helped finance the building of the place. I don't know, whatever. That he felt she was his.
Oh.
When I was growing up, though, there was never a name given. Some had said that she was a lady of the evening who ended up getting married to one of her customers or was having a more serious relationship with a customer than just another John, you know, and that he got jealous.
I tend to tell the George Winfield version more than I just say, oh, it was just a random guy, because the way she was killed feels more emotional than just somebody getting angry and killing somebody.
Wasn't he the guy that killed the other girl at the Goldfield?
Yeah. So ironically, there's a story of him killing another girl that was a working girl over at the Goldfield Hotel, which he was also the half owner of. So it's a possibility. But again, you know, either way, somebody, a man in her life in general, had found to be having a little more emotional attachment than what she was actually believing. And she was still continuing to work and make her money. So,
and he was supposed to leave for the week. So she took another client and he came back because he missed the train or the stagecoach.
Yeah, he missed his train.
He missed his train and came up and realized she was with another client, hid up on the fifth floor somewhere until the client left, pulled her out of the room, strangled her, and stabbed her in the hallway.
Oh. Now, is there documentation of her passing away there?
Sadly, there was a fire in the 80s and a flood. When was the flood? God, I want to say early 50s or so.
And all that was on pieces of paper back then.
Yeah. So we don't have any actual proof or documentation, but...
And the reason I ask that is that so often, you know, especially with a woman like her, they weren't as valued as the men. And if he was a man of means...
Oh, absolutely. He got away with it, Scott.
Oh, yeah. And that's the thing I was going to say, too, when you asked if there was any documentation. That, for one, now, she was owned, essentially. If you owned the hotel and you had ladies of the evening working at your hotel... They were property. They were not.
Yes.
And anybody, if something came up, anybody who would have defended her was a scorned woman as well. They're nothing but liars and worthless. And so why would you believe anything they had to say? Of course they're going to defend her. They're liars too. So there was never any backup for any of those women for years, you know. And
we've learned her story from people having encounters, paranormal investigations, people who just come here and open themselves to this place and learn the things that we say. Like, sadly, it's just stories, but there's truth in it.
Mm-hmm. And I always say, if you pass away like that, especially looking at her life, even if she was beautiful and all this and people loved her, she was still a working girl. And
she was trash then.
And sadly, she was property.
You know, she wasn't treated as a valued human as she really was. And so for her, you know, finding peace in death is there, you know, because this person brutally killed her. And
right. Well, and like I said, and you're dead on that. They weren't women back then that were in a working girl situation like that were generally basically enslaved in that. Mm-hmm. They weren't given enough money to get out of that. Mm. Now you've been a scorned woman anyway. Where were you going to go to work? Because you weren't allowed to have a job, and you certainly weren't allowed to have a general public job. You were not, you know, unless you somehow or another could get out of there by marrying some client and somehow he got you away from there or something. But that was slim to none. The odds of that happening were very, very, very few.
And they always held the room, right? Like, we give you a room. This is what you work out of. We get the money. You get to stay here for free. We'll feed you one meal a day or whatever.
Yeah.
It was the Wild West. I mean, it's so crazy to think that it was just 100 and some odd years ago.
Yeah. Well,
that all of this happened.
Yeah. And there were bad guys that definitely it was a forced situation for them. Today's world, we have legal brothels in the state of Nevada, and those girls are 100% there by choice, and that make a lot of money doing so. And to this day,
and it's way safer. It's way cleaner. They are checked by the doctor every week, as well as there's so many women that work up in these places that now are in going for their doctor degrees and stuff like that. Literally is a thing. Back then, it was not like that.
No.
In fact, the less educated, the better they were, because they were too stupid to get out type of thing.
Yeah.
Now, do you frequently hear stories from your guests that they had experiences when staying in those rooms?
Yes. Miss Rose sadly does not like women. Women say, oh my God, she attacked me while I was taking a shower. The soap flew out of my hand. The shower curtain wrapped around my arm.
Oh my God.
And then we have the men who are like, I saw her hovering above my bed and she was staring at me and she touched me. So there's that.
Well, they used to always say that if you had jewelry and you left your jewelry out, and or nice ladies' shoes, like, you know, nice heels with you, to leave them out because they would most likely be moved in the morning. And a friend of mine used to live here at the hotel back in the 80s. She worked at a hair salon that was in the hotel at the time. And so she lived actually on the property and in one of the rooms. And she had a Black Hills gold necklace that her grandmother had given her or something like that. But it was a very nice Black Hills gold necklace. And she wore it almost all of the time. And she took it off to clean it or something one day. And she had left it on the dresser in the room. And all of a sudden it was gone. Like, she couldn't find it anywhere. She looked high and low. She's like, oh my gosh, that was my grandma's necklace. And I just really, oh my gosh, I can't believe I lost. This is horrible. She was really upset. She went to everybody that worked at the hotel, from front desk to maintenance to the maids to you name it. And she said, if you guys see my Black Hills gold necklace, please give it back. I need it back as my grandma's. And very upset. And 2 days later, she came back to her room and it was hanging on the doorknob.
No.
And so somebody borrowed it, apparently. As in, I believe Miss Rose most likely borrowed it. Used it and then put it back.
Lost and found at the hotel is fun because you can think you left something and you might have, but it's not in the room when we go check it.
Well, and how often does it happen with guests that are there coming to you, say somebody stole my jewelry and they're accusing one of your housekeepers or something? Like, obviously,
we had a lady call about a toothbrush, and I'm like, nobody's going to steal an electric toothbrush. I guarantee that.
Exactly. Who would?
Especially a used electric toothbrush. And it's not in this hotel. Like, we do not have it. We checked everywhere, every closet, every housekeeping area. It's just not here. So either it was left and taken, or she left it somewhere else and she just doesn't remember where she left it. But those are the conversations that we have to have with people. I had a guest come down. He stayed on the third floor, which is where the kids are, which is where we are right now. And he said he packed up his stuff, went to his car, forgot something, came back up to his room. The door was open. No housekeepers were on shift. It was like 7:30 in the morning. So no housekeepers were on shift. Nobody would have opened his door. And he went in to look for his sweater. And the sweater is gone. It is nowhere. And so he comes down to the front desk and he's like, can you guys just check with like housekeeping? And I'm like, there's no housekeeping here right now. It's 7:30 in the morning. They don't get in until 9. And so then we start talking about the kids and how they like to take things and they're mischievous and how sometimes things just go missing. And he goes, oh my God, that would have been so cool to go on a ghost tour. And I'm like, let's go down to the basement. I'll show you around and show you like where the kids perished and all the other places. And he was a total believer after that. Like, he's like, I cannot believe they took my sweater. The sweater was like $200. It was very expensive, but they can have it. Like, I don't want it back.
If it means that much to him, keep it.
Yeah. And we don't ever find these things. These things that go missing.
That's interesting.
In the hotel, we never find. They're just in a different realm.
Because I do think it would be difficult, too, with some guests. Like, he got it, but there'd be some guests that would be like, obviously, you have a criminal ring working here in this hotel, and I want my jewelry back.
Yeah, that's what they think about the toothbrush.
Yeah, that's right. Definitely what she thinks about the toothbrush.
Best toothbrush ever, Jamie. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that wraps up part one of our conversation about the Mizpah Hotel. For more information, visit their website at themizpahhotel.com. If you'd like access to all of our episodes, including the archive and advance episodes, everything commercial free, then you could become a Gravekeeper. Sign up on Apple Podcasts where you can try it for 3 days free, or go to patreon.com/thegravetalks. I'm Carol Hughes, and for all of us at The Grave Talks, thank you for listening. Thank you.